Sorry to say good morning. Good afternoon. How's that? It always makes the older people feel better, though, when you mess up, you know. Younger people, it doesn't bother. The older people say, yeah, he's just like I am. But we are glad you're here. I could not help but be edified and pleased to have the prayers that we have here at State Street. In the singing, we have a congregation that sings out to partake of the Lord's Supper on this first day of the week. Think about His resurrection. We have been very blessed, haven't we? Very blessed. I know that probably most here are glad the storm didn't hit us too much, but I think I know some in school that would wish it had a little more. I said, well, those that missed it, I will say this, the best snow that can possibly happen is the one that comes in the middle of the night and they can't get the roads clean, and you get the news, no school. Okay. We are glad you're here. I want to thank Brother Chuck for putting all of this so that we could see it. Years ago, several especially donated quite a bit for us to have this. The unsearchable greatness of God. Psalm, actually it should be Psalm 145. It's the book of Psalms, but when you mention one, it's singular. But that's the way it comes out on all computers, but we want to study Psalm 145. I would encourage you to read this, maybe tonight or in the morning. When we study something like this psalm, I would encourage you to read over it several times. And I will tell you, in my judgment, every time you read it, you'll see something different. I have no doubt that this psalm would be an excellent psalm to write a whole book on. It would be a wonderful book, in my judgment. It has such knowledge about the unsearchable greatness of God. Until reading about it, I did not realize, although I've taught on it, I'm certain I've seen it before, but I did not remember this is an alphabetical psalm. Most of the alphabetical psalms, since there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, they would have 22 verses. This one has 21 verses. An alphabetical psalm is when you have a section of scripture and each verse begins with a letter in the Hebrew alphabet. It would be like going through our alphabet of 26 letters and I'm going to say something. The first thing I say starts with the A. The next sentence I say starts with the B. And you go through the alphabet. That's an alphabetical psalm. Of course, we don't see it because it's in the Hebrew language. But something I did want to point out that I don't know that I came across it. But one of the letters is left out. Scholars would not like this, but we would call it the letter N, the Hebrew word nun. But we have a record of it in the Septuagint and other translations. The Septuagint is a Greek translation translated by the Jews about 270 years before Christ. So even though we do not have this handed down with that particular letter in the Hebrew Scriptures, I find it very interesting that God preserved it in the Septuagint and other places, which would underscore, in my judgment, an important point. Because the Bible teaches that God preserves His Word, God can preserve it like that. I had not thought about that before, but I'm convinced that that is absolutely the case. Our point that we begin with this morning is The great God has great goodness and great righteousness. If you have your Bible, I will not be able to do it on here as we have it written. I'm going to read the first seven verses. We're going to actually begin with verse 7, but I want to read what we have previously studied. I will extol thee, O my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. So all the way through this psalm, you have the word great. And of course, in verse 3, unsearchable greatness. If you are not impressed with God, you're not going to make it to heaven. As a child of God, the more we know about God, the closer we will be to God. God is perfect in all of his attributes, so when we learn more about who God is, and we have a whole Bible to tell us that, when we learn more about who God is, we will love God more. And if it is the case that we love God more, we will serve God more because we love him. So that's why we need to have lessons on God and God's greatness. There's no searching out of his greatness. His wisdom, his power, his might, his understanding, his knowledge, they're all infinite. Not only are they infinite, but they are perfect. There aren't too many things that are perfect, and actually only deity, only God. So this seventh verse, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy goodness. I can't help but think about our Sunday school teachers that this is their goal, to teach the little children so they will remember God's goodness. I looked up the word goodness in Webster's 1828 dictionary. My son Clay bought it for me. It's a great big heavy thing. What's interesting is you can get it on your phone in a couple minutes and you can look it up. There are more than 40 definitions given by Noah Webster, who is known as the father of our American language. More than 40 definitions of it. But if you want to summarize it, originally it carried the idea of like strength, something strong. And in the Bible, when it's associated with God, it's not one thing. It's what we've been talking about, his unsearchable greatness. When you say God is good, that would include compassion, God's long-suffering, God's patience. You ever wonder how God can be so patient with us? That he looks down from heaven and he pities us. He pities our frame and he knows all about us, but he still loves us and cares for us. I'm convinced, as like we studied last week, the knowledge of Christ, it's beyond our understanding. This is so great. And the love of Christ. And so, the little children are trained to remember the 23rd Psalm. And when they get older, they will have that 23rd Psalm. Some of you have not heard this, so I'm going to tell it to you. The rest of you can listen to it again. My brother Duane's a Christian, worships in Athens, Alabama. He had a good friend that was dying, and he had Alzheimer's. And He forgot his wife, forgot his children, grandchildren, friends, members of the church. He didn't know anybody. My brother said just before he died, he quoted the 23rd Psalm, word for word. So you Bible school teachers are doing a good work. When I was a little boy at 5 years old, I went to Bible school. I'd give anything to remember my teacher's name. It's where I got my first little New Testament. I remember that. But they taught us things that were always up there in our minds. Sometimes you may go astray from that, but it's up there in your mind. Hopefully, you will come back to the Lord. So the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. Well, this is what we're doing this morning. Matter of fact, as you read through that psalm, it looks like, you know, like you could just write it today almost. We are singing of God's goodness and God's righteousness. The idea of God's righteousness is pretty broad. God always does what is right. God always does what is fair. God will be just. But we have something greater than that, insofar as if you're a child of God, you have the forgiveness of sins. Excuse me. You do not want to go to the judgment that we're about to sing, of the song dealing with it in a few moments. You don't want to meet God's justice. No one should have to do that. Become a Christian. You have the offer of the cleansing of the blood of the Son of God who bore that cross after being beaten. There's no doubt, I have no doubt, that you could see the back of his shoulder blades. I can't imagine how bloody he was from the beatings. And then to put that cross and try to bear it to Calvary, and then you'll have an opportunity. Have an opportunity to be cleansed by that blood, to live forever. You notice that several times in this psalm? I think it was Matthew Henry that I read from. On my computer, it says that he wrote it, at least it was printed in 1706. And he talks about this psalm, and he said, now, sometimes you read about forever, and then other times you read about forever and ever. And he said there wasn't any doubt that we would be singing of God's righteousness and worshiping God forever and ever and ever. In Nahum 1 and verse 7, the Lord is good. There it is. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. There are three things there, but I want to mention something about Nahum. Nahum was a great prophet, and he was a prophet that foretold the destruction of the Assyrian Empire, and the city was Nineveh, their capital. It was sort of like Babylon. It looked as if no one could possibly destroy it. God can bring down any kingdom on this earth any day that he wants to. It would not surprise me that if we lived to see Russia come to her knees, and all of us, at least many preachers and other people that would go over there and preach the gospel, would be able to go over there and not be inhibited in any way. It would not surprise me, because God has the power and the goodness to do that. So he is good. He is a stronghold in the day of trouble. Now, actually, you remember that Jonah had preached in Nineveh. 40 days they were going to be overthrown. 40 days they were going to be destroyed. You know, after coming out of that whale, being spat out on the dry ground, he really went to preaching. He really went to preaching. and they believed him. And from the king to the lowest, they all repented with dust and sackcloth. They truly repented because they believed that that day was going to take place. God spared them. He spared them for 150 years. They went back to their old ways. When Nahum talks about their cruelty, he understood. They were like some today. I don't think you could imagine people more cruel than the Assyrians. They had fun cutting off arms, legs, feet, cutting out tongues, ears. I don't want to scare the young people, but they were putting out eyes. And they would skin people while they were alive. Can you imagine that? To frighten their enemies. God remembered that. They repented 150 years. But the day came that they had to pay the price. And that's just the way it's going to be with the judgment. The day is going to come to pay the price. You don't see it? They didn't see it. But God said it's coming. And he says he knoweth them that trust in him. So God knows. He not only knows in the sense of knowledge, but he approves of his children. He knows everybody that trusts in him. I know I tell some of these stories, but you've not heard this one. I visited a brother in Christ, 93 years old. His wife was 93. She was in the chair, pretty good mind. He was in the bed, right just inside the door in the living room, with an excellent mind. This man was a close friend. We were always close. We didn't even worship in the same congregation. But I went in to see him. And he raised his hand up and grabbed hold of my hand. And we talked. He said a few things. But the last thing that he said to me, he said two words. He looked me in the eye and he said, "Trust him. Trust him." I want you to remember that. Because it'd be a difficult thing to be on the deathbed. But you remember those two words, you'll be all right. Trust him. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He is a stronghold in the day of trouble. And David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." In Psalm 107, we could turn to that and easily complete our time in that psalm. I want you to read that later. The first verse is found seven or more times, I'm guessing. We won't go through them. In the Old Testament, Psalm 107:1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." So we thank God because he's good. God is good and God is great, as we sometimes teach the children to pray. And in that psalm, he has another expression. It's found in Psalm 107 and verse 8. And the psalmist said, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And it's not only found in verse 8, but verse 15, verse 21, and verse 31. The exact verse. That's kind of a rare thing in the Bible, isn't it? For God, and in each of these areas, there's a section, there's a story there told. One of them is about men being out there on the sea. And the waves are shifting and high, and the wind is great. And they're calling upon God to help them to get to their safety, to a haven of rest. And God is able to still the waters and take them home, so that they could have peace. So, that is a beautiful psalm. And Oh, that men would praise the Lord for what? For His goodness. God is good. But we need to remember that since God is also a just God, and that's good in its own way. Paul says, behold the goodness and severity of God. Romans 11:22. You don't want to have to face God's severity. That's why Jesus died on the cross. We are the saved from the wrath to come. You don't want to have to deal with the wrath of God. I think we probably need to preach on it much more, and Lord willing will this year. In Psalm 119:142, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. God is everlasting God. He's eternal God. Deuteronomy 33:27. From everlasting to everlasting, Psalm 90:2, and His righteousness, therefore, is always the same. He is always a righteous God. In the book of Jeremiah, the Lord is called our righteousness, because we're not good enough. It'd be nice if we were good enough, but you know in your own heart you're not good enough. You have to have Christ. You have to have His blood. All those sufferings so that you could go to heaven, so you could have pardon, so you could have peace that passes understanding. Don't miss it. In Psalm 103:6, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. We have a world with a lot of people oppressed. They're arguing right now about how many thousands, or apparently tens of thousands, of people that have been slain in Iran. The president said they had a list the other day of over 800. They were going to hang them all. Evidently, he got the word to them, and they said that we were not going to hang those 800 for now. But God sees all of that. He sees oppression, like Nineveh. God saw that. God went a long time, but they had to answer for it. In the chronology of the Bible, the world's something over 6,000 years. Yes, I do believe the chronology of the Bible. No, I do not believe ignorant people that don't even know that evolution is a lie and don't understand the simple things of the Bible and believe in God. It's a short world, and God's going to wrap these things up someday, maybe sooner than we think. In Psalm 100:5, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. There it is again. Mercy is something that you show to someone who is somehow at fault. It's maybe an enemy of type. And that's when mercy is shown. And legally, we become enemies of God when we sin. God loved us. God wants us to be saved. But you're not going to go to heaven like that. You're not going to go to heaven like that. You'll have to repent. Read the sign. Read the sign out front. Repent and be baptized. His goodness, His mercy from everlasting. And then Psalm 146:5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. I'm not going to say everybody wants to be happy, because I know there's somebody out there that wants to be sad. Some wants to be unhappy. I think we see some of these people. They must want it because they got it day and night. They're not happy. They're not going to be happy. But you can be happy with God. I have a little book I bought very early on. Maybe my first year of preaching, maybe second. It was very early, maybe first. It's a little interlinear, and it's got the whole Sermon on the Mount. And it's got the Greek and the English. When you're not a scholar, it really helps to have those. And they got a word when they translated, blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there's the kingdom of heaven. You have all those Beatitudes. And you can look it up, and they translate it as happy. those things will make you happy in a blessed spiritual way that you can get from no one but God. And there are two things mentioned here in this Psalm 146 and verse 5. That's nice that you can see that, isn't it? I like that. And the one is help. That's good to have help. We all need help. If you don't think you need help, you're going to need help. And hope. We have hope. We're saved by hope. Romans 8 and 24. That's what sustains us in the time and hour of need. That brings us down to our sixth point. The Lord is great in compassion, long-suffering, and in mercy. These things are mentioned here. Compassion means to suffer with. It's that you actually, I carry the ideal of someone else is having sorrow or pain or affliction, and you feel for them. You feel for them as if you feel the same pain and the same sorrow. That's compassion. God is a compassionate God. And long-suffering. What if God were to just say the word and we sort of say something out of the way or do something out of the way, and that's it. No forgiveness. I am thankful that God is long-suffering and patient with me. And I would think you feel the same way. God's long-suffering. And in mercy. He's great in all of these. In Psalm 145, verses 8 to 10, the Lord is gracious. That summarizes this goodness of God and kindness and pity. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies over all His works. All Thy works shall praise Thee, O Lord, and Thy saints shall bless Thee. The saints there simply mean the children of God. Paul writes to the church at Corinth and refers to them as saints. I've noticed recently they're going to have a television program about the saints. Well, that's a name that fits the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints, the children of God. But there's no such a thing in the Bible of someone living a good life and then dying, and all of a sudden we're going to vote on them or however you want to do it, and now you're going to be a saint. You don't have to worry about finding that in the Bible. It's not there. It's in the same verse with the Pope, the Archbishops, and the Cardinals. I had a phone call this week from someone in Mississippi. Their son is studying with a Roman Catholic. They wanted some literature. I came here in the building to do something. And there it was. Malcolm had about five or six of them on the desk, in the table. And I had looked in my study, didn't see anything, looked a couple of times. But God, in my judgment, providentially saw it to it. I came here to the building, and there it was. I got it ready to mail in the morning. But I wish I could just talk with him. I'd tell him what I just told you. That you don't find any of them in the Bible. They're just not there. That should end it. It's not in the Bible. And that's true of so much in the religious world. And that doesn't take away from our love for the Roman Catholics. I have friends. I grew up with friends. I will always probably have friends that are Roman Catholics. I love them. But they're not right religiously. And I would hope and pray that they would change. So we have us, God, that's merciful to all, kind, offers mercy to all, put it that way. The mercy is offered to those that come to Him. Psalm 103 and verse 8. And I would encourage you to read this whole psalm. It's very similar to the one we're reading. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide. The ideal chide is to rebuke us for our failures. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. That's comforting, isn't it? For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. That's what I was saying a minute ago. Toward them that fear him. Now verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. How far is that? If you start going east, I don't mean just on the earth, just go east. And you start going west, how far is that? He says that's how your sins are gone. They're removed from you that far. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. That's awful encouraging to me. Isn't that encouraging to you? I don't know how he understands all that, except I know he sent his son and he went through all and more than we have. In Hebrews 8 and 12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and their iniquities will I remember no more. Taken from Jeremiah chapter 31. Actually, it's found twice in the book of Hebrews. I'm not going to remember their sins anymore. They're gone. Peter says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. Now listen, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The reason Jesus has not come back yet is because God wants you to be saved and everybody else is lost. It's his long-suffering for people to repent. It is the goodness of God that brings us to repentance, as we read in the book of Romans. That brings us to our last passage. I asked Nick, would he lead us in this song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. I'm not going to say this is going to happen, but usually when I sing that song, I can't get that out of my head for about a week. I'll be saying, I don't know all the chorus. I'll just be saying, Great is Thy Faithfulness, Great is Thy Faithfulness. That's what that man was talking about on his deathbed when he said, trust him. Lamentations 3:22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. That's in that song. Isn't that something? Every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God is a faithful God. And he offers you a home in heaven. All your sins and all iniquities will be washed away and remembered no more. Acts 3:19 says they're blotted out. They're gone. Don't you want to live that way? Don't you want to be free from sin? The Son make you free. He says you're free indeed. You come to Jesus. You come believing with all of your heart. You come repenting of those sins. Not ashamed ever to confess him. And you be buried with your Lord in baptism. It's all in the Bible. Romans 6, 3 and 4. Colossians 2 and 12. Your sins will be washed in his blood. You come as we stand and as we sing.